And another warm day this morning, and another week to begin. So look forward to this new week that we have before us this morning. We'll pray here in just a second, but if you have your Bibles, just go ahead and we'll open those up. I'm going to veer off our Sunday school book. If you are one that actually keeps up and reading in that book, I apologize. But I'm so far off of it now, I'm so far behind, I don't know that I'll ever catch that back up. But we're going to go to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 42, Genesis chapter 42. And I'm going to, a little bit likewise from last week, about 2 weeks ago, I preached on Wednesday night, and I used Joseph as our lesson that night. And then last Sunday, I kind of continued on a little bit with the life of Joseph, and I'm going to do that again this morning. Some things that I think that we will look at this morning about the life of Joseph. So we're going to be in Genesis chapter 42, Genesis chapter 42 this morning. And we'll also at the end kind of turn over to the book of Matthew as well. And we'll look at a subject here in a moment. Let's do pray, and we'll open up with prayer and ask God's blessings upon our time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you. We thank you once again for this time that we have. Lord, it's hard to believe that it's Sunday yet. Once again, time goes by so quickly, and a week passes so quickly. And God, first of all, we want to say thank you for your many blessings this past week. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of this morning. And God, we also thank you for the blessings that we will no doubt share in this next week. We do pray for our time together, for your blessings upon the hour. We ask, Lord, that you once again help us to better understand you, your word, and God, what you would have in store for us this week. God, I pray that you take those this morning who have needs, Lord, the different prayer requests that are present this morning, and those that will give prayer requests this morning. We just pray, Lord, that your will would be done once again in the life of your people and their prayer requests and the needs that they know of and that they have in their life. We do pray for those that may be sick this morning, that you would heal them. We pray, Lord, for the lost this morning, that they would see their need of salvation before it's eternally too late. We also, Lord, ask for your help in our life. We ask for your power. We ask, Lord, for your wisdom, for your guiding and leading and directing in our life, that, Lord, we could be a good example and a good testimony in this world that we live in. We also, Lord, pray for our country this morning. And, Lord, we pray, Lord, once again for revival in our land. We pray for our missionaries this morning. We mentioned them. We think of them this morning and ask, Lord, that you would bless them in a special way, that you would bless their works today, that you would, Lord, anoint them. We pray, Lord, that you would once again, Lord, give them fruit for their labors this morning as they serve around the world, and that you would bless them, meet their needs, and provide for them and protect them in this day. We ask, Lord, that you take the next few moments that we have together as we study your word, that you would bless once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're in the book of Genesis. We're going to look at a little bit more in the life of Joseph. It's amazing. Actually, as I was preparing a few weeks ago, even since then, and kind of writing and looking and studying and reading about Joseph, it's an amazing, amazing venture of the life of Joseph. And there's a lot that we could talk about this morning, a lot that we could teach, but I'm just going to take out another segment of his life that sometimes we'll get into it here in just a moment. We're going to study a little bit about the word forgiveness. Forgiveness is a wonderful word. Praise God that God has forgiven us. Thank God that God forgives us of our sin. Thank God that God forgave us at salvation. And there's a lot that we could say about forgiveness, but we're going to study a little bit in depth here about forgiveness. What is forgiveness? What forgiveness is not? And we'll look here at the life of Joseph. And I may even continue a little bit more next week because I've had to kind of bypass a little bit about the life of Joseph. We began back a few weeks ago talking about Joseph, and you know him and the story about Joseph, I'm sure, very well. If anyone, though, in life, well, let's read. Let's look here. Let me read the scripture first, and then we'll get into our lesson here. Genesis chapter 42. I'm going to begin reading down in verse number 3. You're going to find that Joseph's brothers, I should say, are going to come to him because they have a need. There's a famine in the land, and there's nothing to eat. And there's one person that's going to control all the food, and that is going to be the brother that they sold into slavery. They have no idea whatever happened to him. As far as they were concerned, he was probably a dead man by then. But they have to go to this individual to be able to purchase some food. It was scarce and it was divided out, and Joseph was in control of that. You know the story. And we're going to find here that his brethren or his brothers are going to come to him. And when they come to him, he recognizes them, but they're not going to recognize Joseph. So you remember how this is going to kind of work out here. So just keep in mind that that's what is happening here as we read. So Genesis chapter 42, look at verse number 3. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land. How about that? Can you imagine Joseph, the governor of the land? The brother that was sold into slavery, the brother that was hated, the one that was stripped of his coat of many colors, the one that was actually made right choices, and it cost him, he actually went to prison. Spent a period of time there in prison, succeeded there as well. Now Joseph, in verse number 6, is the governor of the land. And then it goes on, and it was that sold to all the people of the land. So it's the governor, it's Joseph. He's the one that actually sells the corn to the people that are in need here. He goes on to say in verse number 6, and Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. If you remember back a few weeks ago, we discussed a little bit about how that Joseph was the one that had the dream that there would come a day when his brothers would actually bow down to him. You remember that? Now, I mentioned, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, I mentioned how that I'm not too sure that was the wisest thing for Joseph to kind of brag about to his brethren, but now you find it's coming to pass. And here we find now that his brothers are bowing down themselves in verse number 6 before him with their faces to the earth. Now you got to realize they don't realize that's Joseph. Now Joseph does know them, but they don't realize that it's actually Joseph that is the governor here in verse number 6. In verse number 7, and Joseph saw his brethren and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and he did that so that they would not recognize him, and spake roughly unto them, and said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And verse number 8, and Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. Verse number 9, and Joseph remembered the dreams. I want to stop right here, and we're going to look a little bit more and a little bit past this morning. If anybody in all the world had a right to be upset and not forgive what was done unto him, it was Joseph. You're not going to find a lot of people, many more people in the Bible that was probably mistreated by his loved ones, his own family, his own friends, than Joseph. Joseph, as I mentioned beforehand, grew up in a very dysfunctional family. I mean, you just study the brothers of Joseph, and I mean, you're going to find out it was a very, very dysfunctional family. I would even go further to say, and I mentioned, I think even last week, that his father was very dysfunctional. You remember how that his father paid favorites to him and favored him and loved him more than the other brothers. I mean, that's a sad situation for a father. How foolish of the father to be that way. You remember how that the father loved Joseph more than the other brethren, and we remember how we studied that, how that Joseph's brothers, the Bible says, they hated him. I mean, they had anger towards him, malice, I mean, hatred towards their brother Joseph. Not only that, Joseph was taken by his own brothers. In fact, at first they thought, we'll just kill him. We'll end this right now. We'll just take his life. We'll shed blood. We'll kill him. But one of the brothers decided that, hey, that's not a good idea. Maybe we don't need to kill him.
So they came up with another idea, and they sold him into slavery. Remember, they dumped him in the pit and kept him there till they decided what to do with him, and lo and behold, they found out a way to sell him. They made a little money off of him, and they sold their own brother under slavery. And then not only that, later, we didn't really study this very much, but he was ends up unjustly put into jail. And after he was put into jail, and we didn't study even past that, where he was actually even forgotten in jail, his own brothers forgot about him. The ones he was in jail with forgot about him. And I'm sure he was very lonely and felt very deserted in life. But, you know, when you really think about it, everybody forgot about him except one person. That was God. God never forgot about him. You see, that dream that he had at one time, I'm sure it almost vanished from the mind of Joseph. And we don't know in depth a lot of the struggles that maybe Joseph went through, but I do know this: Joseph was just as human as anybody else, and I'm sure that he daily went through a lot of struggles in life. And if there's anybody that had a right to complain for what was done unto him, it was Joseph. And now Joseph, later in life, is the governor. He hasn't seen his brother since the day they threw him in the pit and ripped him in, of his clothes and his coat of many colors. And he hasn't seen his brother since they actually sold him into slavery. And lo and behold, they walk in the room minus one. They come there to buy corn. Now Joseph is a great example of an individual that knows how to forgive the bad that's been done unto him. I think everybody in this room at some point in life has had somebody do you wrong. I'm sure there has been at times in life where everybody in this room has had to make the decision of whether I forgive or I don't forgive. But I promise you, according to Scripture this morning, one of the most damaging things that you'll ever do as a Christian, as a born-again believer, is walk through life harboring unforgiveness. But on the other hand, I don't know of anything any harder in life to do than to forgive sometimes. Forgiveness is one of the hardest things sometimes that a Christian will ever have to do in his life or hers. If anybody had a right to be angry, it was Joseph. If anybody in life had the right to say life is not fair, it was Joseph. And I'm going to just stop right here and say real quickly, life wasn't fair to Joseph. I mean, nowhere in the Bible does God promise you that you'll always be treated fairly in life. In fact, you're going to find you'll be treated more unfair than fairly in most cases. But what an example Joseph is going to be. Here they are, come before him, the governor. He's governor. He controls the corn that they desperately need to survive from dying of starvation. They bow themselves down to him. And the Bible tells me here in verse number 9, and Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. He never forgot it. I'm sure there were days that he probably thought it was just a dream. It's never going to come true. But you have to realize the emotion that's going through the heart and the mind of Joseph here. When they bow themselves down, automatically the first thing he thinks of was the dream that he dreamed, that there would come a day when they would bow themselves down to him. And no doubt, Joseph is full of emotion. We're going to look at that in just a few moments here. But one of the most difficult things that no doubt Joseph had to deal with in his life was not the prison, not jail time. It wasn't the false accusations that maybe people had made against him. It wasn't that he was thrown into the pit. It's not the most difficult thing in his life that he was sold into slavery. I dare say this morning, the most difficult thing that Joseph ever faced in his life was whether or not to forgive those that had just bowed themselves down to him. Now, I'm going to just say real quickly, I don't know if I could forgive them. I'd like to think this morning that I'm a mature enough Christian that I would understand the importance of forgiving them, but let's just be honest this morning. That's a very difficult position to be in, of whether or not to forgive those that have just bowed themselves before you. You think you could forgive? If your own brothers treated you the way that he was treated, and all the mishaps of life, if you want to call them that, I don't really believe in mishaps. I think things happen for a reason and for a purpose in life, but I'm sure there were many days. I'm sure when Joseph was in jail, he was kind of second-guessing how life was kind of working out for him. To be honest with you, there were many days where life wasn't what he thought it was going to be. He was very mistreated in life. But do you realize how easy it would have been for Joseph to... You know how easy it would have been to be the most bitter person on planet Earth? I mean, there's so many things that happened in the life of Joseph that he could have easily been a very, very bitter person. But as you read about the life of Joseph, I never find one time where Joseph indicated that he was bitter in his heart. In fact, we'll look at several things right here, but with that all being said, I want us to look at forgiveness a little bit. I was jotted down a quote. I don't know who gave this quote. I don't know who it's from, but I like this quote. Let me read it to you. I'm talking about what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is a beautiful word when you need it, but it's an ugly word when you have to give it. I like that. Now, we know that giving forgiveness is not ugly. It's a beautiful thing. But our flesh doesn't like to give forgiveness. Oh, we love to receive it, but we don't like to give it very often. Joseph had to deal with the temptations in his own heart of hate. It'd been easy to hate your brother. So, well, you can't hate. How can you hate your brother? They hated him. You remember back several chapters before that, boy, they hated him. And do you not think that in the heart of Joseph that there was always that temptation to hate them back? No doubt that Joseph had to battle the temptation of his own heart of anger. How easy it would have been to be angry at them. They were angry at him. In fact, they actually wanted to kill him. They were so angry. Joseph had to deal with the temptations of not only hate in his heart and anger in his heart, but also bitterness in his heart. How easy it would have been to be bitter in life. But you'll find, and we are not going to have the time this morning to go into a very extensive reading here, but you'll find that Joseph, in return, he forgives them. He loves them. He actually helps them. But mostly important, he forgave them. Forgiveness is not easy. It is difficult. Because it's easy for us this morning when people do us wrong, it's not easy to react by saying, you know what, your day's coming, buddy, I'll get you back. So this morning, I want us to look a little bit at forgiveness. Now, what is forgiveness? And boy, you start studying what is forgiveness, and you'll find that it's a long, long, long path, a long study of what forgiveness is. But when you really come down and put it all in a real small, simple statement, forgiveness basically is a decision. So forgiveness is not that simple, and I realize it's not easy to get to that point, but basically forgiveness is a decision. You have to decide you're going to forgive someone. I will say this. Forgiveness, listen, you have to understand this. Forgiveness is not an emotion. But most people feel like forgiveness is an emotion. I think sometimes emotions have a part in forgiving someone, but basically forgiveness is actually a decision that you must make. It's not about your emotions. You know, if I live life based on my emotions, boy, life would be a wreck. You see, this morning, forgiveness is not an emotion. I also put that in my notes. Emotion is not about how you are feeling at any given moment, but rather it's a choice that you must decide that you're going to make to forgive. And it may be that it's required of you to forgive someone. It may be that it's required of you to forgive a situation or an event that takes place in your life. Or at times, you have to learn how to forgive your own self sometimes. You see, forgiveness is a choice that you have to make to no longer. In fact, I was trying to write down a little bit of a definition of forgiveness. And if you study forgiveness, there's a lot of ideas of what forgiveness is. But here's one of the definitions that I find. Forgiveness is a choice that you must make to no longer credit an offense or blame against an offender, even if that offender was yourself. It is when you decide that you are no longer going to credit an offense or blame against an offender. I like that definition. So it's a choice. And Joseph has to make a choice. Do you realize he's the governor? Their life is actually in his hand. He can do anything with them he chooses here. You know what he could have done? He could have had them stripped of their clothes right there. Joseph could have chose to sell them actually under slavery if he wanted to because he was the governor of the land. Joseph could have put them in prison if he wanted to. All those things that had been done under Joseph, he in return now has the power and the position that he could actually enforce all those things on his brothers if he wants to. Boy, wouldn't that be nice? I mean, that's the way my flesh would react a little bit. Let them spend a night in jail, see what it's like. Let them work in slavery. Let the whip slap and snap across their back a few times. Maybe I need to teach them a lesson. But nowhere in Scripture do you find that Joseph ever reacts that way. And we don't have time to get into the entire story of all that Joseph does with them and sending them corn with them and putting a piece of money in it and all the different things. He does work on them a little bit in teaching them here. But you'll find here that Joseph's response towards his brothers here and those that had hurt him and had done him wrong is a great example to all of us. So we find here, we read down through verse number 9, we've finished in verse number 9, where the Bible says, "And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them." But the most telling verse, I believe, in the entire chapter, in chapter number 42, is going to be down in verse number 24. And he, talking about Joseph here in verse 24, turned himself about from them. And what's that next word? He did what? He wept. Emotions overtakes him to the point where the Bible says that Joseph had to kind of excuse himself a little bit and kind of hide himself a little bit more from his own brothers because he could no longer control the emotions in his heart. And the Bible tells me that he began to do what? Help me out. He did what? He wept. Now that's very key to me here because it tells me many things. You see, one of the things it tells me here is that Joseph had not grown emotionally cold in life. It tells me that there were still feelings, if you would, in his heart for his own brothers. They may have hated him, but you're going to find in this passage here, Joseph actually loved his brothers. No matter how bad they treated him and no matter how bad they did unto him, he is going to return to them in love. He still allowed himself to have feelings in life. If you're not careful in life, that you'll allow people to mistreat you. Bad things happen in your life, and if you're not careful, you'll get to the point where you no longer emotionally feel with your heart anymore. We've all heard people make statements, your heart's gotten numb, your heart's gotten hardened. I mean, it's gotten to the point where it no longer feels. And boy, when you can't feel with your heart anymore, you've got a lot of problems that you've got to deal with in life. But Joseph, the Bible says he wept. He doesn't react in anger. He doesn't react with hatred. He's going to react to his own brothers with love. Now let me just stop right here and let me say personally myself, I don't know of anything any harder that I could ever have to do than something like that of what Joseph has to do. Boy, I'd like to say that I'd react just like Joseph. But I can't say that honestly this morning. Let me tell you why I can't say that this morning honestly. Because I know there's been times in my life where I haven't reacted that way. Because you mean to tell you what, it's easy? It's easy to hate. Is it not easy to be bitter and angry? Sure it is. Because we are flesh. We are sinful flesh this morning. It'd be easy for me, if I'm Joseph, to be very angry. It'd be easy for me to reveal myself unto his brothers because I want them to see where I'm at. I'm up here. I would my flesh would want to react to make sure they understood their position of where they're at, and here I am. You're the one bowing down to me, just like I told you in my dream. You see, forgiveness is a beautiful word when you need it. But it's true, it's an ugly word sometimes when you have to give it. And Joseph chose to give forgiveness. He still allowed himself to feel. We find in verse 24, and he turned himself about from them so that they couldn't see, that they couldn't, so that they would not be able to personally see his reaction. His reaction was in verse 24 that he wept. He still loved them. He understood, that's my brothers. They're struggling. My father, which is not with them, he's struggling to be able to just find something to eat. You see, Joseph in verse 24, when the Bible tells me that he wept, it makes me understand that he didn't cut off the past. In fact, it kind of relates to me that he actually understood all that took place in his past, but he dealt with it properly in life. And he learned how to accept it in life. You know, sometimes in life, you just have to learn how to accept some things that happen sometimes. I'm not saying I like everything that happens to me in my life, but sometimes I have to just step back and say, you know what, I can't stop it, I can't prevent it. And sometimes you just got to accept sometimes that bad things happen in life and people are going to mistreat you in life and they're going to do you wrong in life and life's not always going to be fair and it's not always going to work out the way you thought it was going to work out. But you know what? You just accept it in life and you go on in life. I have no doubts that Joseph had pain in his life. I have no doubts that Joseph was just as tempted as I would be to be angry. I have no doubts this morning that Joseph had to deal with a temptation in his heart to be a very bitter person in life. And Joseph's response towards those who had hurt him and done him wrong is a great example to all of us, because Joseph is going to make the choice. And he's going to choose to forgive his brothers. Now, was it an emotion? Is it an emotion? It wasn't an emotion. Emotions, You see, him weeping behind the scene, if you would, is not what's going to give forgiveness. Forgiveness is when he chooses to give forgiveness. Now, his emotions have a part sometimes, an influence? Sure it does. He's going to weep through it, but he's still going to make the choice that I'm going to forgive those who have wronged me. And that gives me to my third point. I jotted some things down about forgiveness. I put this down, number three. Forgiveness doesn't mean you no longer feel pain. Now, I think sometimes pain does subside a little bit with time, but forgiveness doesn't mean that you're no longer going to feel some pain in life. In fact, you're going to find here that he's emotional. He's in verse number 24. He's weeping here. You see, forgiveness does not mean you forget about what's happened to you. Do you understand that? Some people have this idea that, well, you know, if you really forgive somebody, you'll forget all about it. Well, I don't know. I've never been able to accomplish that. Have you? Now, I understand that God is capable of doing that, but I'm just saying this more. I'm just giving you my own testimony. I've never been able to forget what's happened to me. Anybody in this room able to do that? So we better get the idea out of our mind that, well, you know, I'm going to forgive them, and after I forgive them, you know, I'll never think about it again. You're going to find out you're still going to think about it. Forgiveness is this. I'm trying to go through some of my notes. Forgiveness does mean you no longer hold the situation or the person hostage for the pain that they've caused you. And boy, that's hard. And what makes it even harder is because I can still remember it. I wished I could erase it from my mind. I wished it was as easy as just saying, okay, I forgive you, and all of a sudden, somehow, something magical happens and my mind is erased of that event or that person, but it doesn't happen that way. And if it's an individual that you're having to forgive, maybe somebody has wronged you in life, and you forgive them, and you make that choice to forgive them, you know what one of the problems is going to be? You're going to still run into them in life. You're still going to see them occasionally. Could be even somebody at church. Maybe somebody you work with. Maybe the next door neighbor. Could be your own family member. But you've got to learn how to forgive. You see, Joseph had to deal with the problems of his life and what was dealt to him in life, and he had to deal with it. Joseph is a great example of someone who knows how to deal with adversity in his life. When life mistreats him, when his own family mistreats him, when his own brothers hate him and mistreat him, he learns how to deal with that. And you have to make the choice to delete that offense. Now, let me also give you this as well. There will be times in life that somebody mistreats you. Boy, it's hard to forget it, and it's caused you pain. It's caused you, some very hurt feelings in your heart. You see, you can actually forgive them. Whether they come and ask for forgiveness doesn't matter this morning. You see, some people believe, well, you know, the only way to really give true forgiveness is when the person that has wronged me actually feels sorry about it and they come to me and ask me for my forgiveness. That's not the way forgiveness works, dear friend. You see, you forgiving somebody else has nothing to do with how they act or react. Because there's going to be a lot of people in life, they're not going to come and ask you to forgive them. You ever met people like that? I know people in life right now that they're so prideful in life, they would never, ever say, I'm sorry, or you know what's even harder to say than I'm sorry? I was wrong. Forgive me. And they may never ask for that. But I'm not going to allow them to keep me captive, enslaved to hatred, because forgiveness is what I should give. Here's the thought. How to know if you have truly forgiven the offense or the offender? How do you know if you've actually forgiven someone? Here's several questions to ask yourself. Number one, are you still seeking revenge? If you're still seeking revenge, I promise you, you haven't forgiven them. But it's more than that. My second question is this. Do you seek a payback? It gets worse than that. Do you delight in the offender's pain? You see, when somebody has wronged you in life and you choose to forgive them, but if you're still hoping that they... You find out something's bad happened to them, and that makes you happy. You see, if I feel that way towards them, then I haven't forgiven them. That's hard. Would you not agree? That's hard. You see, when somebody has wronged you and somebody has done you wrong and they have mistreated you, they have lied about you, they have whatever it's been in life, whatever the bad they've done unto you, you know if you've truly forgiven them when you find out, you know what? Something bad's happened in their life. And I'm glad. Let's be honest. Is it not easy to feel glad when somebody else hurts when they hurt you? That's the flesh. But what is that? That's an indicator you've never really, really chosen to forgive them. Do you delight in that other person's bad circumstances in life, then you probably have not forgiven them. Is Joseph glad? No, not that I can find. As far as I study down through here, you'll find Joseph is very concerned for them. You're going to find that Joseph's going to go the extra mile to help them. It'd been easy for Joseph to say, well, you know, let you go a week without something to eat. Let you find out what it's like to be hungry. It's what you did to me. Many days that I was, when I was in slavery, there was many days that I got very, very little to eat. In fact, they just gave me enough to eat just barely to keep me alive. Maybe you brothers, maybe you need to know what it's like to live like that for a little while. Joseph never reacts that way. In fact, verse 24 tells me he wept. Joseph could have gotten revenge. He could have easily gotten it. And Joseph doesn't even choose revenge. Joseph chooses to forgive. Would you not agree this morning that one of the most difficult things in life is just learning how to make the choice to forgive and really truly forgive someone? Because when you don't forgive, and this is not part of my lesson because it's we may venture off into it, but you ever thought about this? What's the repercussions for choosing not to forgive? Anybody want to take a stab at it? What do you think happens when you don't forgive? What's going to happen? Somebody give me an idea. It's not a trick question. It's not a right and wrong answer. Bitterness. You see, when I choose not to forgive them, it's going to affect my heart. It's going to make me react probably with bitterness. And by the way, don't have a pious opinion this morning. Well, I've never had bitterness in my life. Sure you have. We all struggle with it. And most of the time, not all the time, but a lot of times, the reason we struggle with bitterness in life is because there's something. If there's bitterness in your heart this morning about something, if there's something in your mind this morning that you're bitter about, you know what? You can go back and trace it back, and there's somewhere in life where you were probably mistreated or something bad happened or an individual did something or a situation happened in life, and it's still a part of your life, and you've never cut it loose. Too many Christians this morning, they're still dragging around something that's happened in the past, and because of that, they're entrapped in bitterness this morning. I have found it to be true. If I choose not to forgive someone,
I find that I'm usually pretty bitter at them. Not only that, I'm usually jealous of them. You know, that person that you don't like in life, that person that is very, mistreated you in life, you know, it's hard not to be jealous of them. To be bitter. It's hard to live life when you're angry all the time, and I'm afraid so too often the Christian life, we have too many born-again believers walking around with anger in their heart. And the reason there's anger is because there's probably somewhere in life where you chose not to forgive. You say, but forgiving someone, it's so hard. And it is. It is. And I've gone a little past maybe on my time. I've got just a few more moments here. If you would, take your Bibles. We'll go to the book of Matthew. I want to go there real quickly and show you something very amazing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, if you would. I've got a new Bible, and sometimes it's hard for me to find my way through it. I was looking at Bibles the other day, and this is off the subject a little bit, and I was trying to just find one that I liked. And I was looking at some, and I was telling my wife, I like this one because the print's so much easier to read. Now, then I realized after I got it home, it says on the here, large print. Now, that's why it's easier to read, I guess. See, we like to say it's the print on the page. You know, it's not my eyes, it's the print. It's not my age, it's the print. Matthew chapter 6. Something very amazing. In Matthew chapter number 6, does anybody know who is speaking here? Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. For if you, or ye, forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also do what? He'll forgive you. That's pretty easy. But verse 15 is the telltale. Look at verse 15. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Do you see that? Now, I don't know about you, but it's not very difficult to understand these two verses here. And if I am correct here, if I want the forgiveness of God in my own life, there is something God does require of me. And that is that I do what? Forgive what? A lot of in-depth study even in these very simple verses here. But look at verse 15. But if ye forgive not, what's the next word? Not what? Men. Isn't it amazing here that if I want the forgiveness from God, God requires me to be able to, in return, to forgive those who have trespassed me. And we could go into study of what is a trespass. What do you think a trespass is? We own a farm. I have to put signs down by the entrance of our property, and it says, no, what do you think the next word's going to be? No what? Trespass. Now, if somebody were to cross that line without my permission, then they have become a what? Trespasser. A trespass is, it means a lot this morning. My time's out on our time this morning, but I want to say this real quickly, and I have said this often here, even in Sunday school. Isn't it amazing how we praise the Lord? I mean, we could preach and teach on the forgiveness that God gives to us, and we would climb the walls with excitement this morning. But boy, when you preach and teach about how important it is that I forgive others, we don't like that too much. That's hard. Was it not Jesus Christ that said, forgive them for they what? Know what? know not what they do. Joseph. And I don't have time to go back a little bit, but Joseph forgives his brothers. And I've been mistreated. Has anybody ever been mistreated in life? Raise your hand. Anybody been mistreated? Anybody ever done it? Sure, we all have. But I don't know that I've been mistreated as much as what Joseph has been in life. And you're going to find that Joseph is going to live a very, very successful life. And I believe the key to his life of living a very successful life is that he realized and understood the importance and how to forgive. You'd be amazed if you just started studying just a little bit about forgiveness and how it's mentioned in the Bible and who forgave and who wasn't willing to forgive. And there's two sides to it. I mean, we could look at examples in the Bible of those who chose not to forgive. And it eats away at them and it shrivels them up spiritually in life to where they don't even have feelings anymore, become very bitter, angry people in life. I don't want to be that way in life. You know, life's too short to walk around being angry and bitter and having hatred in some of my heart towards others in life. You know, my time's out. You know, we need to just go ahead and accept the fact in life. You know what's going to happen? And it may be today before you ever even leave the church. It may be this week. It may be at work. It may be with a family member. But somewhere in life, somebody's going to mistreat you. And there's something going to happen to you in life, and it's not fair. And you'll have to make a choice of whether you're going to forgive or whether you're not going to forgive. Joseph chose to forgive, and you're going to find the great rewards that you'll find in his life. We may study a little bit more next week as well, but anyway, just a thought this morning about forgiveness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness that you've given unto us. And God, help us this week to learn how to forgive others, how to make that choice to actually cut that loose in our life, and not harbor that bitterness and that anger and that jealousy and that meanness that we may have towards someone else because they've done us wrong. And Lord, also may we seek forgiveness to those that maybe we have wronged in life as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.